Please stand. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked, where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven, and whose sins you retain are retained." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. So typically, we move right into confessions, but also, as I mentioned, as we've had the last few weeks, we're having a sermon series on the Jubilee year, and in particular, the Jubilee year as a year of hope. I've mentioned that the impetus for this series of talks has been Pope Francis' bowl of indiction. How's that for a phrase? A bowl of indiction, or basically what it's a declaration that's marked with the Pope's seal, just to sort of verify this comes from the Pope. And this bowl of indiction declares this year as a Jubilee year, a year meant to be, to use the words of Pope Francis, to be a moment of genuine personal encounter with the Lord Jesus, the door of our salvation, whom the Church is charged to proclaim always, everywhere, and to all as our hope. And so it sort of gives you the flavor of what this Jubilee year is all about. And the other talks for the Jubilee year sermon series are found on our parish website, and there's a few remaining copies of Pope Francis' bowl of indiction that I think is on that table there. There's a couple more copies left if you want to read it, along with guides for making a Jubilee pilgrimage somewhere in Nebraska. Though I'll need to add one more pilgrimage site that was added just in the last couple weeks, this place called Cor Marie, just north of Crete, part of Schoenstatt that Father Harrison mentioned about a couple weeks ago. But I want to conclude today this series of sermons, and I'd like to talk about confession as a sacrament of hope. Maybe for some it sounds like an oxymoron or a paradox, that confession as a sacrament of hope. And then after confessions are over, or most people have gone to confession, just a short talk on the Jubilee indulgence. But to talk about confession, Pope Francis, in this declaration of the Jubilee year, he says, "The sacrament of penance assures us that God wipes away our sins. The sacrament of reconciliation is not only a magnificent spiritual gift, but also a decisive, essential, and fundamental step on our journey of faith. There we allow the Lord to erase our sins, to heal our hearts, to raise us up, to embrace us, and to reveal to us his tender and compassionate countenance. There is no better way to know God than to let him reconcile us to himself and savor his forgiveness. Let us not neglect confession, but rediscover the beauty of this sacrament of healing and joy, the beauty of God's forgiveness of our sins." And those words of Pope Francis, they're really words of hope, offering an insight into how confession is a sacrament of hope. Again, we hear things like confession assures us of forgiveness. Just even at the very end of confession, what does the priest say? "Go forth, your sins are forgiven." It erases our sins. The priest says, "I absolve you from your sins." It heals wounded hearts. In part, that healing comes from the penance that we do after our confession. It raises us up after we've fallen. that the confession is like a stumbling block. Sin is like a stumbling block. And confession, it pulls us back up. We experience, you can imagine just what a couple weeks ago, the gospel of the prodigal son. Pope Francis says we experience the embrace of the Father, in which he reveals a tender compassion. And probably the best words I like is when Pope Francis says, there's no better way to know God than to let him reconcile us to himself. I mean, we come to know God, we experience God's presence in the confessional. And I also love it when he says, we savor God's forgiveness. I don't know if you ever heard that before with regarding confession, but confession is an opportunity to savor. And then he describes confession as beautiful. He talks about the beauty of the sacrament. So these are words of hope. Now I know for some, these are typically not words we use to describe confession. Maybe words like fear or torture or humiliating come to mind when we think of confession. Maybe there's like scary. But really, confession should not be like this. At least if we approach confession from less of a consumer mentality, we're going to get something, we're going to get God's forgiveness, to more of a communicant mentality, that there's a reconciliation that takes place. Now, I must admit, I love confession. And for me, I have very vivid memories, images of going to confession. I remember my first confession. I still remember in the sacristy of Assumption Church in South Omaha. I remember the big white chairs that were set up in there. I remember Father Begley, my pastor. I can visualize it. I can even think of like the green tile that was in the sacristy. It's very vivid. I remember the first time going to a different priest for confession. A little bit different. I remember the confession was at Assumption. I thought they were like restrooms at first when I was a little kid, but recognized, they sort of helped get rid of the waste, you could say. I remember the high school chapel during a penance service, going to confession there. I remember the first time going to confession in the car. It was a Toyota Cressida. I still remember that. I remember going to confession in Toronto during one of my first experiences or opportunities for spiritual direction. Very vivid memories of that. I remember hiking in South Dakota and going to confession in the midst of one of the national parks there. And I also remember vividly hearing my first confession as a priest. Now, I won't say the who, where, or when, but I still remember that too. And when I say I remember these, I should say that I remember them because they were not scary. They were not bad experiences, but rather for me, they were very good experiences. I also should mention that I don't remember the sins. I remember everything else about them. Again, vivid memories, but I don't remember the sins, which is probably good. It's probably good. And I mention this because for me, confession is not so much of a task or sort of like earning God's forgiveness through a particular action, but rather it's a restoration of a relationship through what is a very human act of saying, I'm sorry. An act that helps restore communion on a natural level, which God then makes effective on a supernatural level. Maybe another way to think about confession as a sacrament of hope is to consider another hope-giving act. I'm sure many of you have heard of CPR, which stands for cardiopulmonary resuscitation. It's a basic life support technique for someone whose heart has stopped and whose breathing has stopped. And that CPR is a means of hope, giving new life. And we need Jesus for spiritual healing. And he does heal by means of a CPR. Not cardiopulmonary resuscitation, but by a personal encounter with him through a sacrament referred to as confession, penance, and reconciliation, CPR. The Catechism of the Church tells us that Lord Jesus Christ, physician of our souls and bodies, who forgave the sins of the paralytic and restored him to bodily health, has willed that his church continue his work of healing and salvation in the power of the Holy Spirit, even among her own members. A work of healing and salvation is the purpose for the sacrament of confession, penance, and reconciliation. All three of these being names that emphasize important elements of this healing process that takes place during the sacrament. First, we call it confession. We confess our sins. But before we confess our sins, we examine ourselves in the light of faith, and we stir up within ourselves a sorrow for our sins. We then confess our sins to the priest, who acts in the person of Christ, mentioning especially all our mortal sins, but even mentioning the small sins. And we tell a priest because the priest is not the master of God's forgiveness, but rather its servant. The Church teaches us that when he celebrates the sacrament of penance, the priest is fulfilling the ministry of the good shepherd who seeks the lost sheep, of the good Samaritan who binds up wounds, of the father who awaits the prodigal son and welcomes him on his return, and of the just and impartial judge whose judgment is both just and merciful. The priest is a sign and instrument of God's merciful love for the sinner. It's Jesus Christ who forgives through really his tool or minister, the priest. And then after confessing the sins and receiving forgiveness, we're called to do penance. Now, the P of CPR. Jesus forgives our sins. However, when we sin, we also damage our relationships with God and with others. We even hurt ourselves. And the way that we repair the damage is by doing penance, acts of charity and sacrifice. Through penance, we spiritually and we even physically make up for the sins that we've committed. We heal the bonds which were damaged or broken by our acts of selfishness. And we build charity in our hearts by acts of selflessness. And then, by both confession and penance, we're reconciled with God, the R of CPR. Reconciliation with God is the purpose and effect of the sacrament. But reconciliation doesn't stop with God. Late Pope John Paul II, in his exhortation on confession, teaches us that this reconciliation with God leads to other reconciliations, which repair the breaches caused by sin. The forgiven penitent is reconciled with himself and his inmost being, where he regains his own true identity. He is reconciled with his brethren, whom he has in some way attacked and wounded. He is reconciled with the Church. He is reconciled with all creation. One final point about confession, penance, and reconciliation. Unlike cardiopulmonary resuscitation, the sacrament of confession is not just for emergencies. How often do we wait until we're really sick before going to the doctor? Or wait until we have a cavity before going to the dentist? Or wait till our car breaks down? Do we go to the repair shop? Hopefully we don't wait too long. I think all of us recognize the importance of what I call preventive maintenance or care. But so often we make excuses to avoid what we really should be doing. And it's the same way with confession too. We may even have the best intentions and tell ourselves, I hope to go to confession every month. However, the month sometimes turns into 3 months, 6 months, a full year before the person returns to the sacrament. But if we're serious about growth in spiritual life, preventive maintenance is also necessary. The sacrament of confession is not only the means of forgiving serious sin, but also when used regularly, I would say every month or maybe even every other month, the sacrament helps us to form our conscience, fight against evil tendencies, let ourselves be healed by Christ, and progress in the spiritual life, words of the Catechism. The rite of penance, the instruction manual for going to confession, teaches us that frequent and careful celebration of the sacrament is also very useful as a remedy for venial sins. This is not a mere ritual repetition or psychological exercise, but a serious striving to perfect the grace of baptism, so that as we bear in our body the death of Jesus Christ, his life may be seen in us ever more clearly. If we go to confession regularly, we make ourselves constantly aware of our need for God's forgiveness and for his healing grace. In confession, we actually find hope. St. John Paul II says that frequent confession remains a privileged source of holiness, peace, and even joy, he says, even joy. CPR, the sacrament of confession, penance, and reconciliation, is God's means of healing and preserving our spiritual lives on earth, so we may share in a supernatural life in heaven, heaven being the final object of our hope. And so let's get on to confession. First of all, just to mention that in the back of church, there's three different guides for you to use. One is your sort of your bread and butter guide. It sort of gives you the list of sins. You can use that to help you out. The second guide I really like, it sort of approaches confession as a way of forming communion and bearing good fruit. So I recommend this one. And there's a third one called Preparing for the Sacrament of Confession with Pope Francis. It has a little bit about confession from his bull of indiction, but also an examination guide that came from a penance service that he presided over. And so I offer those three as just ways to help you prepare for confession. And just to let you know who is here for confession, we have Father Chamorro will be in his regular confessional. I have Father Oldham over in my confessional. Father Fahn will be in the library. Father Harrison will be in the family room. And Father Nemitz, I'll have you over in the cry room. And did Father Clinch show up? Okay, so I'll have Father Clinch then over in the preschool. So there's Father Clinch hiding from me there. So I'll have you in the preschool. So again, make a very good confession. I will keep you in my prayers as you do that. And I might see if I can set up another place for myself too in order to have seven priests. So it's a great blessing to have all of us here. Thank you.